You're listening to Unity Talks with Alfred Farrow, only on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to The Ununited State of the World with Francis, Jay, and Monique, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back to The Ununited State of the World. I'm Monique Leray. I've got my co-host here, Francis Vigors from the UK, and I'm in Laguna Beach, California. How's it going? We're missing one. How's it going, Francis?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks for asking. I will be your way in about 17 days. Okay. Yeah, I'll be across the pond.
Bring your coat. It's really cold. And your umbrella.
I'm going to. Oh, thanks for reminding me. So I will bring the checked baggage then.
Yeah, it doesn't stop raining, unfortunately, but yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I like a little weather, you know, in the fall. It's kind of cozy, you know.
Yeah. Not too much, though.
Right. Not Seattle. Right. We have that.
Yeah.
It's funny how you take the sun for granted, but I guess what you don't have, you miss. So.
Well, that's right. Yeah. I mean, every time there is a blue sky in the morning, when you get a bit of high pressure, a bit of clear blue sky, and you wake up, you just think, wow. If only it was like this all the time, and rush out and have a walk. But, you know, everywhere's muddy because it's been raining every other day. You know,
that's
how it is, you know.
I can see that. But you guys, you know, there's some culture there that I just really adore that you only get in kind of in that vibe. So, you know, you guys are obsessive about tea and the umbrellas, and you guys are a little snarky, which I kind of enjoy.
You don't find that in many places anymore. You know, the Englishness is slowly being sucked out of England. There's only a few places that you can go to now where you kind of get a glimpse of what it was like in the old empire days, you know, all that sort of stuff. I remember, you know, we were famous for men's clubs, you know, the club. Men only clubs, you know, where you go in there, you're a members club, and you go in there and have lunch with your chums, you know, smoke
your chums,
a cigar and read the paper.
A bro, like, not in a bad way, but a gentleman. See, you can't really say gentleman's club, and you can't really say bro.
An escape from the world. And then, you know, going a few years back, there was this massive thing about, you know, how they would be made to accept women members and let women in. So, yeah, you know, I mean, even that's gone, you know, so it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
No escape, is there? Men used to go down to the pub, you know, but that's kind of gone as well. You know, you used to go down to the pub at lunchtime. It's just full of men drinking.
Let me ask you this, Francis.
That's gone, you know. That's
let
gone.
Me ask you this. In this golden age of Londonness, Britishness, you will, tell me the years that you recall that was the golden age, and then are you speaking about just not having a safe place to just kind of decompress as a man and just have a male space?
I'm not sure whether you'd call it a golden age or not. I don't know, really. But, you know, it's the golden age of the British Empire were before I was born, really. So it's only the few clubs that I've been to and restaurants and sort of tea rooms that emanate or reflect back to those sort of slow, sleepy, smoky sort of atmospheres of gentlemen's clubs and things like that, where you can hear the grandfather clock ticking and it's quiet everywhere, and you can just hear the rustling of newspapers, and you might see somebody stick their nose around the corner of a newspaper, you know, smoking a bit of cigar smoke coming out back into the wing chair, you know, and that sort of thing. That's pretty much all gone. I mean, you're not allowed to smoke inside anymore anyway, so that's gone.
I really appreciate you, you know, expressing this. We're going to talk about a different topic today, but we'll spend some time here. This is important because I believe men need to have a spot where you guys can do those things. If you all want to smoke,
you know,
and read a newspaper and talk, like, Women, go shopping or go gossip. Like, women, we need to do our thing at happy hour. But men need that too. We all need to recharge somewhere. And I don't believe in, like, suffocating.
Well, it's in our DNA, isn't it? It's in our genetics. Whether you like to accept it or not, it's there.
Yeah.
The hunter-gatherers, and it wasn't that long ago either, you know, if you look back throughout history. The men used to go off hunting, and they would leave all the women in the encampment, in the village or in the cave, you know, right back to the very early days. And the men would go off. They would go off for, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks, you know, however long it took to catch enough food it then being worthwhile to take back, you know.
Got it. So the gentleman's club is where you catch food now.
Well, just
kidding.
Well, I mean,
it's evolved.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, you know, hand-eye coordination from the hunting over hundreds of thousands of years, you know, is generally better in men than it is in women. And that's why men can coordinate and find their way, you know, on a map or whatever. Generally, I am generalising now, but generally better than women. And there are plenty of things that women can do far better than men, you know, because
it's a combination.
For generation after generation, for literally hundreds of thousands of years, you know.
Yeah, so, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You be good at what you do. He got very passionate about what you do. We do what we do, and we come together and with this great team.
And you should be a team, an effective team, exactly. Right. Not at each other's throats, and you should have everyone, doesn't matter who they are, is good at something. Honestly, it doesn't matter who you are. Everyone is good at something. And no one is always wrong, okay? Not at all, you know? As they say,
and nobody's always right either.
Absolutely. Exactly that. That's the other face of the coin. No, I mean, yeah, sure. You know, there are people that kind of, they seem to behave like a machine and they're annoyingly right most of the time.
Right.
Even they, right, will get something wrong. And it could be something really fundamental, but something that really does affect their lives or their partner's lives. And they just don't see it. You know, they don't have that awareness at that moment in time for that issue. It's just not there. And you can't quite put your finger on why that is. But some people see something that others don't. And why
you know what?
That?
I love that, because you want to surround yourself with people that are smart as you or smarter, that have different experiences, and that can see a different point of view. I think you stop growing when you're like, all right, I know all there is. I got it. Now, in some areas, you can have boundaries and go, this is what I believe. This is how I'm going to move. I'm open for a little bit of an adjustment. But, you know, I think being curious and constantly asking for feedback from people that you trust and you trust their feedback is great. I think it's really great.
Well, yeah, but just because you trust somebody doesn't mean they're right. So at the end of the day, you've always got to use your own judgment.
Yes. You trust, them to tell you the truth, and you trust that they're of sound judgment.
Yeah, but you know, that then brings up the big question of, do you trust your government? And should you act on everything that your government tells you to do?
Wait, you just jumped from us talking about,
Well,
that's a big jump.
We're talking about trust here now, though, aren't we? On the big issues in life, things that affect your health, things that affect your security. That's a huge subject, but I'm quite happy to talk about.
Right.
I don't trust them at all, based on, you know, the way they're behaving over the last few years. So, yeah.
Wow. You know what? Leave it to Francis. I love the way you spin it into a, like, you make it all consuming. Because that's a good, we'll get there.
Do you trust your government? That's a good question
right.
for you.
Okay, that's the segue. Got
and
it.
If
we
so,
went from trusting men and women to be in their role, and then we went to...
But if
government.
Why do you trust them? Why are you putting your health, if you like, in their hands?
By saying, why do you assume that I trust them?
Well, yeah, I mean, assumptions are dangerous, as they say. You know, shouldn't make them, right?
Yeah, you know, but you just said, why do I trust? Well, you're just saying to people, why would you trust your government? You're assuming
Yeah, exactly. You know, a lot of people dialed out of the whole health thing, and they just trusted what the government told them over the last few years. And
Listen, now it's all beginning to catch up with a lot of people.
So, you know.
Well, you and I have something that we are not disclosing right now, but I have a little bit more context to what Francis is referring to. But Francis, you can correct me if I'm where I'm wrong or get it wrong. But, you know, Francis has I don't know the right term, but you have some resentment's a strong word, but you have some, there's a sour taste in your mouth about how COVID was handled in many different countries. Am I wrong by saying that?
I think that the fear, shame, the guilt that they used on people to coerce them effectively, you know, got their arm up behind their back. I mean, we were told here, protect granny, you know, go and get your jabs to protect granny. And nobody knew what was in the jabs.
Is that the ad? Go get your jab to protect granny.
That's it. Literally, honestly, I mean, that is...
That's some guilt right there. That's a guilt ad right there.
Yeah. Okay, it's like if
you get your jab to protect granny is that's what genius.
They said. That's what they said to us.
That is so genius. I would have probably got three jabs for granny. Yeah.
How many grannies have you got? Yeah.
Well, not on the planet anymore, but you know what I mean? Well, like I'm just saying
now, my mother's 81 and she didn't get any jabs and she had COVID and she's fine.
But you know what? Here's the thing, right? The show's not about COVID, but you and I have had a lengthy conversation. I really do respect and appreciate your point of view because it balances me out, right? It balances me out and it offers another point of view of a lived, true experience, right? So I trust that that's your family's experience and I'm glad that it's your family's experience. On the other hand, I've had people run up to me in the London Heathrow Airport. Or not run up to me, but I'm the last person getting back on a plane from London back to New York.
Yeah.
And the flight attendant is a gentleman, and he's tall. He's real tall. And I'll never forget him. And he's just like, you know, my daughter died at 23 of COVID. And she was otherwise healthy. You really just, the rhyme and reason of this thing was like so out of control from everything. And I went, oh, you know this back. Everybody knows back to me. So I'm not saying I know everything because I do not. Right. But what I do know is the common denominator of this thing is it's not the same. The thing that you can rely on
outcome is the same everybody's, across the board for everyone.
Right. And so with math and science, for us to say, well, my family was good, which we love to hear it. But this family was not, right? So we can't take a stroke of broadness.
The average age of death in the UK for COVID was 82.
But you asked me, do you trust your government? So do you trust your government? Because you're pulling that from your government, right?
Well, that's right. They pushed it on us. And even Boris Johnson, who was the Prime Minister at the time, has just held a long interview. And he said, COVID-19... more than likely escape from the laboratory in Wuhan. You know, literally, COVID-19 escaped from a laboratory in Wuhan, more than likely. Even he's coming out and saying that now, you know. And, he was the one saying, you must get your jab, you know, like that. And at that point, I supported that guy. I voted for him. And at that point, when they're trying to force... they're not holding you down, but you know, I get forced all the time.
I get an email getting me forced to get dog shots. I get an email forcing me to get a flu shot every time I go get a sandwich or a bottle of water at a certain drugstore or a pharmacy. Yeah. It's get your flu shot. I haven't had a flu shot ever.
Yeah.
By my choice as an adult.
I know, chap. He used to get all the flu shots every year. Every year he got flu.
Yeah.
Because it mutates so fast. A friend of mine is a chemist, and she said to me when I heard about COVID-19 and it was a coronavirus, she said, I knew there's nothing you could take that would stop you from getting it because it mutates so quickly that, you know, why is there no cure for the common cold? It's because it mutates so quickly.
So
you're always behind the ball. You know, you're never in front of it.
Most viruses do. Yeah. And you're right. And I think, you know, listen, I love your brain because you are always questioning what is being presented to you. And I think that you have to be that way to survive. You've got to be a critical thinker.
If you don't question anything else, question everything about your health.
That's right.
Number one,
everything in general.
Your health. Everything about what you eat and what you have put inside your body by somebody else. Question those things first, right? And then if you want to go on to the economy and, you know, the state, the nation and politics, sure, you know, like go there. But number one, look after yourself. And number two, look after your family and make sure you know what you're eating, what you're drinking and what, the if any medication that goes inside you, how it's going to affect you.
Listen, Francis, all of it is true.
But that's got to be number one, right? Number one is you, your body, and your family's bodies, your children's bodies, you know, brothers, sisters, so, parents, that's
no, you're absolutely right. I think where we are, sorry, Jay's looking for us. I'm forwarding it to him again.
I'm looking for the link.
Yeah. Join us.
I'm the
ringleader here. That's fine. We're gonna, you know. What is the remedy for all these suggestions, right? Because adulting's hardest enough. Now, I respect you, gentlemen, because you're parents, right? I'm an auntie many times over by friends and by actual family. And so I think that that's my position as far as children goes in this world. But, you know, I love hearing it. But how do you decipher as a parent, auntie, caregiver, grandparent, parent, how do you decipher? This is, I'm going to let this go because all of a sudden, and I guess it did happen in the 70s here, but like, how do you decipher what you're going to allow? Because I know a lot of parents are meeting that line with politicians in schools. Like, where do you find the line of like, okay, let's get these vaccines? You know, that must be a battle.
Okay. So during COVID, they shut the schools and my daughter was at home for quite a few months. They didn't have the technology in the school to have face-to-face lessons like we're face-to-face now. They didn't have that technology in this day and age, in 2020, 2021. They didn't have that technology in the school to be able to do face-to-face with the children. So they just set them homework. They had to do it on Google Classroom, I think it was called, and then they had to submit the work, and then it was marked. They had no interaction with any other students or with the teacher for months and months and months on end. And I, you know, she got one telephone call over four, five, 6 month period from the school. And the phone rang and I answered it. And this little voice said, hello. This is so-and-so from the school. I'm just ringing to see if Sarah is okay.
Jay just joined us. We've got off on the beaten path, but it's a good conversation. And Jay's smart enough to catch up. But
that was a contact I had from the school over months and months on end. And do you know what? I got bombarded with letters and with emails trying to get my daughter vaccinated.
Okay, so that's the answer to the question.
More interested in that than her education or her.
All right, so that's the answer to the question. Hold on. Let's catch everybody up. Because the question was, you know, we're taking this extra care with COVID. I think we should take care with everyone. And Francis said, yes, you must look after what you put in your body. It's your temple. We got it. So I didn't know if you had let her, but now you're telling me all this activity shows me that you did not let her back in because you did not do the shot. Had you ever done shots before? Have you ever vaccinated her for anything before?
She had the standard vaccines because...
And those standard vaccines...
Prior to COVID, I just blindly trusted that what the government were doing via the NHS, the free health service here in the UK... That these standard shots, as you call them, or injections here, were just generally, you should have them. It's common sense, isn't it? But no, it's not common sense because we don't know what's in them. We don't know what it does to our children long term. We've just accepted the fact, you know, we've sort of bowed our head and done our cap to the powers that be and just let them stick it in our kids, you know. And now, there's no way I would do it if I had any.
Well, you came out of it with a new understanding. Your eyes were open to, like, all these times I was a mummy, I was blindly believing. And you have enough reasons for the way that they've handled policy and the state to go, what the hell am I putting in my family? And I love that because you're a critical thinker.
It's a what the hell moment, isn't it? Yeah. Exactly.
It's a what the, it's called a come to Jesus, whether or not it's a come to Jesus. It's a come to Jesus moment or a Buddha, come to Buddha or come to Muhammad or whatever the hell. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
let's welcome our other co-host, Jay Heckendorn. Jay, how's it going?
Hi, Jay.
Sorry about that, guys. I was backstage for a little bit, but Monique, thank you for resetting the link. Okay, so I'm kind of coming in on the tail of this, and there's so many avenues to go, but you said, Monique, you said that we kind of got off the beaten path, and so I don't want to keep going down the beaten path. So let's catch up. I've got so many comments regarding COVID and shots and the consequences that we've all suffered from that.
Yeah.
Especially, yeah. You know, I've been a big part of Boys and Girls Club in America, and the psychological and emotional consequences during that period that is still reeling were pretty great. So that's another aspect, and we did kind of follow it blind. But what was the question, Monique, that you started out with?
Oh, that's good to ask.
Let me ask it this way. What is the beaten path? And let's beat it some more. Yes.
Well, good. No, with Francis, you know who we got in Francis, right? He's a deep thinker. He's passionate. But he's also the palate cleanser. So we were just kikiing a little bit before you came on. And
question was, do you trust your government, Jay?
Why would we trust the government?
Yeah.
God, are you kidding? Give me aspect that I want to trust it. I don't care what government. Whether it's my government, Francis's government, I don't give a shit.
Do you know a lot about Francis's government to distrust it?
Well,
what is that?
They're all the same. It doesn't matter which side.
I mean, first you got to know. They're all playing the same game.
I love Francis's government. Francis and I we've been friends for 15 years.
I'm friends with people in Prague, but I don't know their government.
No. We look at the UK and US work hand in hand. So
they do, yeah.
The only difference between the UK and the government and the United States government is the UK says, pardon me, don't you mind? And the United States says, you better. That's the only difference.
Oh, God. Right. We're the bully cousin. Okay. All right. Let's get on track, guys. Thank you for starting this off, Francis. I think we do have to do a segment of what the hell is Francis upset about today? No, I'm just kidding. Or we could say,
how long have you got?
We can give you 10-minute beats every week, Francis. I'm okay with that. Yeah. You have to ask Mr. I want to know what's on Francis's mind today. Because I think this is a healthy way discussion from different collectives is really beautiful because, you know, you can understand where people are coming from. And I think it pulls down the tension and it diffuses the misunderstanding. And we're doing what folks are going to do on Thanksgiving and the respective adjacent holidays around the end of November, leading up to Christmas.
It depends how the election goes. That all depends how Thanksgiving is going to go.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know if I'm going to be a pilgrim or if I'm going to go to the Boston Tea Party and maybe escape back. I don't know what I'm
doing. Oh, right. Maybe you might be going back to wherever the fuck you came from.
I might go to the UK and say, hey, here's some tea.
Maybe you might be going back to Germany. We don't know. Interesting perspective, because I think that's true. I agree with Jay's point. I think a lot of people, we'll spend two more minutes, we'll wrap this up. I think Jay's perspective is like a lot of people, and for both sides, for the American party, you know, because we aren't advanced enough to have more than two strong parties like some people in the world, which I'm bitter about, but you can't tell. But I think the other side of that coin perhaps could be, I'm not going to let an election dictate my mood, how I treat people and how I'm going to go about my day. Just like my candidate did not win the last time, I still got up, put my shoes on, cooked breakfast, walked my dog, and paid my bills, right? I was probably upset.
Did you tie your shoes or did you put on Velcro?
I don't know. If I have Velcro in here, come have an intervention in my...
I think it ends up as Velcro. Sarsos is doing them up, but, you know.
Yeah, if I have Velcro,
one day deeper. We'll all be wearing Velcro shoes. I
mean,
around, yeah.
I know. Jump on the pedestal.
Are we going into voting rights now?
We are. Thank you for teeing it up, Mr. Heckendorn. Why don't we start about it, guys? Next week, we are going to speak about something that you guys have all been waiting for, which is the election. But we're going to be in Halloween gear, so do not take us too seriously. But take us seriously. But today, the lead-up topic is voting rights in the UK, in the US, around the world. Do they matter? And do we trust them? Mr. Heckendorn, why don't we go full screen on Jay? Jay, give us your opening thoughts on this.
Okay, opening thoughts. Monique, you had the pleasure of meeting with a friend of mine, Jennifer Vo, at a reunion, a week or two ago in Los Angeles, yeah?
Yep. Yes, I did.
I lost everybody there. Okay, we're back.
Yes, yes, I did. But you can't see me when we go full screen. So we'll go back to full screen and you can land your opening statement.
Okay, here's where it is. So Jennifer works for United States Postal Service. She's pretty high up there. And she's been in depositions and congressional hearings, providing testimony specifically regarding some of the lapses that occurred in the voting. And that is simply in the small fragment of Postal Service. Now, voting rights, well, let's ask the question, who should be allowed to vote? If you're incarcerated and you got free housing, you got free medical, you have free food, and you really aren't impacted. You're not paying necessarily tax. You're not out, you know, trying to run a small business or a mid-sized business. So really, there's little impact. And clearly, if you're serving some time for a serious crime, well, you probably didn't make a really good decision, right? And in fact, you probably made a few bad decisions that got you there. If you're not a citizen of the country, well, it's not your country. Go back and go vote in your own country. Who cares? That's kind of how I feel about it. And that's the nuts and bolts, but we can dive deeper into it. Now, Francis is going to say the same thing, but again, being from the UK, he's much more eloquent, and he's going to say, pardon me, and he'll continue on. But go ahead, Francis, your turn.
Yes, let's go full screen on Francis and get your take on voting rights. Do they matter? Do you trust them?
Well, I think, I think we have to get this one right. I think voting rights is, you know, it's a question for today, because we're seeing our respective countries flooded with illegal immigrants that are being basically invited to stay by the current sitting governments on both sides. And I think, you know, they're just trying to secure more votes for their party by doing this. There's no upside to it. There's no positive to it other than the party that are implementing this policy hoping to get their votes in the future. And the chances are they will. So I was watching something about the states and about the swing states and about how certainly in the United States, huge numbers of illegal immigrants have been settled in those swing states to try and make them not swing states and possibly never again in the future. So, you know, this is it's a despicable plan, really. I mean, I just think it's awful. So, yeah, I think this is a massive question of the moment that's very relevant right now that might not have been relevant previously. I mean, in the UK now, I think 1% of the population are illegal immigrants. You know, that is a figure that I've heard in the media. It's just, yeah, it's totally out of control now. And so hence that question arises. So yeah, I think it's a very relevant question. Do I think they should be given the vote when, you know, that's not really, no, I don't. I don't think they should.
No, it's great. Thank you, gentlemen, for your opinions and your ads, because it's important. I'm obviously wearing my political hat because this is about voting, and I'm surprised that Jay's not wearing his Trump wig that needs to be styled by the gays because it's a mess.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
You got to...
What was up with that hat? I just now saw your hat. But hang on, I was backstage.
Because you thought it was military, right? So you didn't see the military. You thought I was on your team, right?
I know better. But Francis actually brought something that I also heard in a report. And Francis, I heard it here in the U.S.
Yeah.
And I took a grain of salt. But now that you brought it up, can you explain a little bit more from what you know? Because these are people from the United Kingdom that, based on the United States report that I heard, were brought in and kind of planted in some of the swing states here on the mainland. It was a limited report that I got, so I don't have the full view that you do. Can you explain that a little bit more and why, you know, why that's impactful?
Well, I mean, impactful.
You got to do it in three minutes, Francis.
The impact will be that swing state will never be a swing state again, because it's a bit like opening the flood doors and just let the water in. It won't be a swing state anymore. This is a question of the Democrats are in power at the moment and they're running the policy, the open border. They're dictating where all of these immigrants are going, where they're housed, and they're dropping them in swing states is what I've heard. So, you know, that is a plan. It has to be for the moment. And I think that's why really, you know, they shouldn't get the vote. And, you know, how are you going to qualify somebody? You know, do they have to be born here? Do they have to be in resident as tax purposes for 10 years? You know, etc. But there has to be something, you know, in place to qualify somebody.
How about my the way I condense it is a person must be vested. Okay, and I don't care how you measure the vesting, whether birthright is birthright, but if you don't live in the United States, why would you make the policies, right? So yeah. I think there's a blend, and obviously that can get very complicated. But if you bring it down to the core, it's got to be somebody that's vested and has a consequence to the vote. It's not just a matter of a simple vote. Every vote matters, and every vote or every election dictates the future policies and conditions that we live under. And therefore, if you're not vested in one way or the other, in a meaningful way, not a, you know, this isn't a, this isn't Hollywood, where
it's not, I'm out of here. I'm blowing this joint. This isn't Hollywood. I thought we were in the media. We're not. I'm out of here. I gotta go.
If you don't have a vested interest, and or if you have a vested interest that is against the law, right? You've got cartels. Well, they've got vested interests.
So you and these cartels, you're obsessed with cartels. You don't even the goddamn border anyway. I do. You're so fucking obsessed. I should be more scared than you. You're just like, you eat, sleep, and breathe the cartel. I've never heard anyone so obsessed. Anyway,
it is an issue. It's a real issue. That's a problem, and it's a pretty nasty one.
I live right here. They are right over here. According to you, they're right at my door.
And no, you live in Laguna. That's different. But
don't be giving out my address.
I need to get you some new glasses. That's the problem. Your glasses. You got to get a new prescription.
That's true. My Democratic fog. Democrat
fog. And I, we update our glasses because we're older.
It's true. The Democrats have blurry vision.
Yeah.
No. No, the Democrats have very sharp. It may be misguided, but make no mistakes. The Democrats are not dumb. They're very
calculated. Thank you for saying that. Well, and thank you for adding what you have. I'm going to jump in here and sprinkle a little bit on your cupcakes here. what I will offer is, yes, I think we need to be looking at all the things. No one on, I'm not saying, as a Democrat, I'm not saying the border situation is perfect. I think there's some fucked up things happening. I think that we need to figure it out. When like, you're popular, when you're popular, you have security, you have a plan, you keep yourself safe. No offense, I'm not bragging on my country. I'm very proud of my country. I contribute to my country.
Yeah.
And yeah, you need
I've got a question for you, actually. Yeah, yeah. Do you lock your door at night?
I do, because I'm like, yeah,
you lock your door
I'm a single,
night,
well, I'm a single black female Democrat in Laguna.
Yeah, but why do you lock your door
at question, to answer your question, I'm a single black female Democrat in Laguna Beach, California, in Orange County. And I'm from LA. My dad taught me to lock my door since I'm a teenager. Yeah, I lock my
door. You know, the door to your country is wide open.
Guys, we can agree that some people feel that way, and I'm not here to discount that. I'm just telling you, I live an hour and a half away from the border, and I do not feel that way. I'm just saying that. So I don't know how far, but you're allowed to feel that way. That's fine. What I'd also
practical fact. The fact is,
yeah,
that was just like it was. That's all. There was nothing about where you live, and
that
was.
Well, I think that perhaps your adjacentness—if that's not a word—but how far you are from the said issue could lend a different perspective, perhaps.
Well, I've got another question. Actually, sorry. What you know? I mean, you're very proud to be a Democrat. I can tell. But what does it actually mean to you to be a Democrat? You know, what
thank you for asking that.
What do you?
I'm proud to be a Democrat in this moment. But like a lot of these shows, I tee it up with. I wish we were smart enough to have more than two choices, because we just were a ping pong game back and forth with policies fighting over strong arm and who got something passed for their people to get voted in. We're not really moving forward and growing. So in other countries in the world, as you know, because you're a world traveler also, there are more than two prominent parties that people can choose from, because people aren't just one thing. People aren't just two things. People are a lot of things. So to answer your question, I'm proud to be a Democrat right now because I'm a female, and that lends, before I open my mouth or anyone enjoys a banter with me, hopefully, I lean for that. They see what they see, and I realize how I show up in the world. And then how dare I also be opinionated, strong, and independent on top of that. So which party is going to align with how I move in the world? I have my own checking accounts, multiple, right? So I don't have a husband, right? Oh, there he goes. He came dressed for the occasion. The showdown. Well, okay, ding, ding, ding. So that's the answer. I need certain rights to move in the world. I couldn't get a checking account 40 years ago without a husband.
Being a female is kind of like the big takeaway from what you just said. But
no, the big takeaway is I'm treated like almost a full human being, which segues to getting back to the point, and I'll let you finish, Francis.
Yeah.
I want to talk about, you talked about the swing states, but I want to push it further and talk about three-fifths compromise. So on top of being a female, I'm not a Caucasian female, so... And I'm proud to be who I am. And I know you're going to say you're playing the race card, but there's no such thing as a race card. You're just that. It is what it is. It's not like I pulled it out and go, I'm going to be black today. My point is, there is a perception when you walk in the room. They size you up just like they size you up. Why do you think I'm smart enough to bring certain people that look a certain way before they meet me? Because I know how the world works. I'm not naive. So the three-fifths compromise means, you know, we're talking about the 1787 agreement over including slaves in the state's population, which is also after that, there was the Electoral College. So there was a certain amount of delegates. There's a reason why a lot of Black and Brown people migrated from the South and to Western states after the Civil War, because they, you know, your vote isn't as strong in certain places and you're not counted as a full human being. Like I said on the previous shows, I'm the second person born in my family with my full human rights that God, Buddha, or whoever gave me, right? Yeah. So you weren't even looked at as a full human. You can go ahead and forget it if I wasn't married. I wasn't even, it was 1/8 of a human being. So there's nobody's vote that's more passionate than the Black female's vote, in my opinion. I mean, everybody's passionate about their vote in this election, but folks that weren't even seen as full human beings that helped contribute to the country, we're very passionate. Okay, so I'll set up there and let you respond.
On that point.
Yeah, go on, Jay.
Yeah, so Monique, this day, even though I'm a white male, I didn't get a voice until I was 18. I know, shocking. I'm actually darker than you, but still. Audience, we joke about that point. Okay, so I'm just sharing a joke that Monique had. But at the same token, we didn't have voting rights till 18. And why? Well, because there's a maturity level. There's a vesting. Now, voting to your point and underscoring what you're saying, I said earlier that the voting should be done by those that are vested in the country. They're the ones that are going to live under those conditions. They're vested. And so I agree with you, Monique. Man, this is the second time today. You better note this date down.
I'll tattoo it on my arm by my bird.
That's right. Look at, slaves should have always had a right to vote. And, you know, they never should have been considered less than human, 100% human, okay?
Thank you for saying that. We need more people that look like you, that are darker than me, that you claim, to say that out loud and to express that in your what? In your actions.
Right, and it's the absolute truth. Now, but Monique, in this case, in today's time, we're talking about a different issue, okay? Your issue is no less valid by any means. It certainly is a valid issue. I get it.
No, we've
got a different issue where people are being allowed to pour in, okay? And I can point out the terrible tragedy of what happened with the slavery, right? They were, as you mentioned to me the other day, they were brought here by force. Today, that's not the case with the crowd that Francis and I and you are talking about. They're not being brought here by force. They're certainly not being subjected to those subhuman treatments that happened years ago, which is terrible. They're actually getting treated better than citizens in the United States. And yet, they don't contribute to our taxation system. Many of them actually bring their crime and drama and the problems because, and I don't even blame them, because that's all they know. If you grew up in Nicaragua or in Guadalajara or any El Salvador, Venezuela, you name it.
And he's picking those countries just for everybody's understanding, not just, you know, it's because of the bordering countries. We're not targeting your country, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not calling any.
I wanted to translate your home. Yeah.
You grow up in an environment, and that's all you know. That is your way of life. That's what you know. And yet, you know, many of them clearly do not like the consequences of that culture. And that's why they come to the United States, right?
Yeah.
So on the same token, that doesn't necessarily give you the right to vote. There's got to be, I don't have the magic formula. Got to be.
So,
there's got to be a way to vet
them. Yeah, sorry to cut you off.
Before they come in. And
amen.
And,
sorry to cut you off, because just for the sake of time, can you round it out in 30 seconds?
My connections.
All right. So, Jay, you're giving a good additive. Let me just cleanse the palate here by saying Francis, myself, Jay, we all can agree that we do not want people who don't live here and don't contribute and aren't vested one way or another, whether they have a child or a cat, whether they pay taxes on a food service job or they're an entrepreneur. We can all agree we don't want people coming into anybody's country illegally and doing the things that he's saying. So we can agree on that. So that shouldn't really come up again, because most people who pay taxes, who are creating jobs, who are entrepreneurs here, who care about locking their doors or not locking their doors, to Francis's point, we agree on that. I'm not paying taxes so you don't do anything for me. I mean, that's a no-brainer. My point here now is we're talking about voting for people who have not had a say. You know, and we're going to wrap it because we're getting close to the time here. Francis, are you in the comments with Sam? How much more time do we have, Sam? I can't see. While Francis checks that, please follow us on Instagram and Twitter X, and it's at the Ununited State of the World podcast, Francis, Monique, and Jay. Francis, do we have a couple more minutes for you to round this out?
We're at 46 minutes at the moment.
Okay, yeah, but I think sometimes my clock is off. So I'll shut up and give Francis two more minutes, Sam, okay? Okay, Francis, take us home on this subject.
So you were talking about being a woman. Obviously, we've had a female prime minister here, probably the most famous female prime minister ever. Probably always will be.
Her in Australia.
We've had a queen, a sitting queen, I think, she's probably broken all the records. You know, sadly, she passed away. But the country adored her, loved her. You know, she was fantastic. One of the best monarchs ever, really, I think. So, you know, I mean, we've had very powerful women here in this country throughout history. You know, back to Queen Boadicea, who fought the Romans. You know, she was a warrior queen. Women were empowered. You know, they have been put down here in this country throughout history. Women have always been empowered. They fight alongside the men. You know, they hold their own. We're not like other parts of the world where the women are completely subservient. You know, they literally, you know, seen and not heard, and they walk behind their partners. You know, it's never been like that here, really, ever. So the whole female thing, we don't even think about it.
Yeah, and you know what? You guys really, but it starts from the top, right? It starts from the head of the house, the matriarch, the patriarchs, and they bless each other and they support each other. I love a lot of things about the British aristocracy, but there's some things that I don't, you know, for obvious reasons, but there's some beautiful things that have come from it as well. And I will say, I do love how you guys adore and you respect your people in power. Also move aside very quickly and they respect the people's voice.
What a
refreshing idea.
I mean, on the slavery issue, I think we were one of the first countries to abolish slavery. And then we spent hundreds of years fighting slaving on the seas. The British Navy would try and intercept and stop slave boats effectively.
Well, by the way, it's not a personal attack. I'll be in London in 2 weeks. And my point is, there's some beautiful things about it, but we have to just call a spade a spade. And whenever I was going to many countries around the world, the Queen's face is on that brown country's money. And that is colonialism. And that's okay. But it's not okay. And it's okay to say there were some positives that came out of it, but we just have to call a thing a thing. And the Willie Lynch situation and all the stuff that's happening here, there's cause and effect for everything, for generations.
Well, I didn't think Queen Victoria would ever think that we'd have an Indian prime minister, but, you know, we did. We, you know, effectively had an Indian running Britain. So, you know, I think the whole thing has gone full circle. So,
let's leave it off on a positive note.
I mean, it's just
you're right. We got to leave it on a positive note. there, Francis. And point taken. There's been a lot of beautiful people out of your country. This is not a dig, because I'm not going to throw glass at it. I'm not going to throw stones in a glass house, because we have a lot of glass. So, yes, there are some beautiful positive attributes from your country and for people like you that give a damn to take an hour from your family and be with us every week and give us your perspective and lend that. So thank you for doing that. We're going to continue to do this, everybody. We got to go. Next week, we're going to talk Francis into wearing a Halloween costume. And you already know what Jay's going to be. I am not going to dress as Kamala. I'm going to dress as something else. But we will see you right back here next week. And then it's the voting debate. Presidential debate. The ununited state of the world. Be well, be kind, be good to each other. Bye, Francis. Adore you.
Bye.